ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46, entitled Uddhav Visits Vrindavan, Text Number 26. Pralambo Drenukaha Arishtas Trinavarto Bakadayaha Daityaha Surasura Jito Hata Yeneha Leelaya Pralambo Dhanuko Rishtas Trinavarto Bakadaya Daitya Sura Sarojito Hata Yeneha Leelaya Pralambo Dhanuko Rishtas Trinavarto Bakadaya Daitya Sura Surogi Jito Hata Yene Halilaya Palambo Denu Korishtas Trinavarto Bakadaya Daitya Sura Surajito Hata Yene Halilaya Palambo Dhenu Karishta Tobakadaya Surajito Tobakadaya Matajis Dhenu Koreshtas Arto Bakadaya Atayene Hadidaya Pralambo Pralambha Dhenuka Arishtaha Pralambha Dhenuka and Arishta Tnabartaha Tnabarta Baka Dayaha Baka and others Daityaha Demons Sura Sura Both the demigods and the demons Jitaha Who conquered Hataha killed Yena by whom Iha here in Vrindavan Leelaya easily translation by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation here in Vrindavan Krishna and Balram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Dhenuka, Arishta, Trinavarta and Baka, were themselves defeated both demigods and the other demons. Go to the text 27 and then 28. 28 has a purport. Sri Shuka Vacha Iti Samsritya Samsritya Nanda Krishna Nuraktadhi Ati Utkanto Abhavat Tushnim Prema Prasara Vivala. Shukdev Goswami said, thus intensely remembering Krishna again and again, Nanda Maharaj, his mind completely attached to the Lord, felt extreme anxiety and fell silent, overcome by the strength of his love. 28. Yashoda Varnaya Manani Putrasya Charitani Cha Shunmanti Ashruni Avvas Vasrashit Sneha Suta Payodharaha. As Mother Yashoda heard the descriptions of her son's activities, she poured out her tears and milk poured from her breast out of love. Purport. From the very day that Krishna had left for Mathura, Mother Yashoda, though counseled and consoled by hundreds of men and women, could see nothing but the face of her son. She kept her eyes closed to everyone else and cried constantly. Thus she could not recognize Uddhav, treat him with parental affection, ask him any questions or give him any message for her son. She was simply overwhelmed with love for Krishna. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrujatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakham Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Dishe Namaha Panchatatva Atmakam Krishnam Tarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pralambo Dhinuka Rishtas Trinavarta Bakadaya Daitya Sura Sura Jito Hata Yene Halilaya. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Dhenuka, Rishta, Trinavarta and Baka, but themselves defeated both demigods and other demons. In this beautiful chapter of the description of Uddhav visiting Sri Vrindavan Dham for the first time, this is this Midan Yatra to Vrindavan Dham. And this is with a very important service. He has not come for a parikrama. He has come to do a service on behalf of Krishna. and a very important service. So this whole setting of Sri Uddhava reaching Vrindavan Dham and meeting the residents of Vrindavan, it is itself a beautiful example of how the different devotees in different mellows interact and create a wave of astonishment and appreciation and encouragement for each other. Sri Uddhava has come with the motivation of encouraging the residents of Vrindavan. But because he has a good intention, therefore, however he would have been incapable of doing that, he himself became encouraged. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In giving, we receive more. Without actually giving, the intention of giving is enough. Uddhava actually did not know what to give. He had nothing to give at the end of it. And he felt that he was only to receive. But only because he had that intention on the order of Krishna, he himself became the greatest benefactor of the service. So, here we will see three great personalities have visited Vrindavan Dham with a similar interaction created with the Brajavasis. The first one to visit Vrindavan was Akrur, and he set the scene. He set the scene, though he had good intentions, again the same thing, but he was ordered by Kamsa. So here he was ordered by Kamsa, but he had a good intention, and he went and he took Krishna and Balaram together on his chariot. But as soon as he went on the chariot, that created a great anguish in the minds and the hearts of the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. So the first thing that initiates is Akrur's visit to Vrindavan. What initiates? The feelings of separation. That's the beginning of the journey of viraha bhav in Vrindavan, and especially for the Vrindavanvasis. So as the gopis were seeing that Krishna was being taken away by the chariot of Uddhav, they became aggrieved, they became full of grief, anxiety, they were practically emotionless, speechless, they could not do any of the duties. Probably as a person would have to prepare for death. That was a similar condition for the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore, when Krishna moved, he gave her assurance that I will come back. I will certainly return. And this set the mood of the separation for the Brajvasis. So, this viraha bhav is something which is so lofty and which is already being established by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest mode of worshipping Krishna. And therefore, to understand those feelings of separation from a sadhaka to a siddha is something that we will humbly try to understand. Though we know that the intention of understanding is good, but we are practically incapable of, and probably mostly incapable and unqualified. But through the whole journey of doing so, we hope to receive the benediction of the realization of this feelings of separation. So therefore, when these words, I will return, is something that set the scene for the gopis of Vrindavan. And that created intense hankering for Krishna. Similarly, the Acharya, the foremost Acharya of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, is Sri Narad Muni. His own life as a sadhaka began with the feelings of separation. That when he went in the forest and he meditated on the Supreme Lord performing austerities and complete vowed devotion to the Supreme Lord, the Lord appeared within his heart and then he appeared without, and that beautiful darshan of the Lord made him forget himself. It made himself forget his own existence, and he was completely in rapture. But when he saw Krishna, when he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and then very briefly that darshan was there, and that darshan vanished. And thereafter, he could just hear the words of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord personally instructed in the feelings of separation. The first instruction. And he's saying that only once you have seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. A sadhaka is filled with desires of the tendency to lord it over, to enjoy, to covet. Two modes of nature. Kama and Lobha. Kama means lust, and Lobha means covetousness. Coveting. Kama means lusting, enjoying. And that's why when the two modes of nature, when a sadhaka is freed from these two modes of nature, then is the balanced nature of goodness which sets the scene for the further progress. Though Narad was the young boy who was completely freed from all these modes of nature, nevertheless the Lord wanted to increase the intensity of his purity. And therefore, this is wonderful. Prabhupada describes the differentiation between material service and spiritual service. Service, serve one must. There is material service and there is spiritual service. And the identification between, or the discrimination between the both, is the level of satiation. If the level of satiation becomes very quickly dawns upon any service, then it must be understood to be material. That means it has just enough satisfied our longings, our kama and lobha, and now it is no more giving us happiness. And that is cessation. Cessation means there is expectation of personal enjoyment. When the cessation comes, that is material. But the service of the Lord, Prabhupada mentions, one can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find cessation or end. When one finds that there is no end to the limit of service what I can render, or the no limit of service that can be rendered by all of us together, that is the beginning of understanding or the platform of spiritual service. And Prabhupada mentions, by intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. And the beautiful statement here is, Prabhupada mentioning, therefore seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service. Because his service and his person are identical. Sometimes as a sadhaka we make discrimination between service and personality, or the service to the personality. And yet we feel that it is only in person that we can have a relationship. And the relationship in a service is inferior to the relationship of a person. That means if I serve, it is inferior to being in presence of a personality of whom I am serving. But Prabhupada mentions that the sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions sincere devotee must go on with the sincere service of the Lord. And what will happen if one does that? Sincerity and no cessation with complete understanding of this identical nature, the Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. That means where and how the energies of that devotee should be employed is revealed by the sincere attitude of the devotee. And therefore, similarly, this is how the sadhaka's interaction with the feelings of separation begins with the understanding of the non-identical nature of Krishna, his energies and service to him. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Parikshit Maharaj's queries, begins with Vidura asking Maitreya Rishi, and all of them have been asking about the creative energies of the Lord in the first place. Before even attempting to understand Krishna, one understands the interactions of Krishna's energies, the glory of Krishna's energies, and that's how one recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, even in the Bhagavad Gita, to Arjun, Krishna first explains about his various energies in the 7th chapter of the Gita, and thereafter reveals his Virat Rup. And thereafter Krishna explains about his personal form and his devotional service of the personal personality of Godhead. And therefore, this is, so Prabhupada was once visiting in Chennai, and Prabhupada was meeting this person, V. Raj Gopal Acharya. He was the first chief executive of the independent state of India. And he was a very aged person, 90 years old, a religious politician and a friend of Mahatma Gandhi. And thereafter, he asked Srila Prabhupada. He had sympathy for Prabhupada's movement. And he asked Prabhupada that you have created a huge institution and now your disciples may identify with the institution rather than Krishna. They might be more ISKCON conscious than Krishna conscious. So what is that? Isn't that the same material identification coming back? And will they end up in the same frustration? That they are identifying with the same type of materialism on the material platform? And Prabhupada replied that because Krishna is absolute, Krishna and his institution are non-different. Therefore, to identify with Krishna's institution was to identify with Krishna directly. And therefore Prabhupada cleared the misgivings of a person who might see an institution, an organization indulging in regular mundane interactions with the world and might feel that there is a kind of mundane inclusion or mundaneness included in the so-called spiritual environment, and therefore there is a semblance of material contamination. But Prabhupada clarified, if one is sure that his institution and his self are absolute and not different, then such a misgiving won't arise. And therefore there is sometimes an argument, or there is a conflict, and that conflict is between Krishna's desire and our aspirations for desiring for Krishna. And most of times these aspirations clash with the desire of the Lord. Most of the times, mostly, hardly our aspirations may very coherently exist with Krishna's will. Prabhupada said, I have an experience of that. I have a personal experience that I have a personal argument with Krishna. What was my argument? My argument was that I will earn money. I will earn money with my business, and then I will spread the mission of my spiritual master. I had a very clear idea how I was going to serve my spiritual master. Very sincere desire. And the astrologer also told that this person must be like Birla. Must become a rich person like Birla. At the time he was the owner or the manager of a very famous pharmaceutical company. Very few pharmaceutical, Bengal Chemicals, that time, very few industries, and that too Prabhupada was manager. But Prabhupada said, but Krishna won the argument. And I had to preach Krishna consciousness penniless. Not that with little money, practically no money. And therefore Prabhupada mentions that therefore in neophyte condition, the sadhaka is in the condition of belief. One believes. But when Krishna purifies with his grace and mercy, then that purification becomes intensified and the person and that sadhaka reaches to the platform of conviction. And therefore the platform of separation with the proper attitude of humility and gratitude sets that scene for a development of a sadhaka to a platform of nishtavan sadhaka. From a shraddhavan sadhaka to a nishtavan sadhaka, the journey is that of the journey of purification by Krishna's imposition. Krishna imposes. It might seem that Krishna had imposed on the residents of Vrindavan, but in fact that imposition became a kind of benediction. So devotee remembers in this kind of condition, there are two conditions. One is that Krishna humbles a devotee with his imposition. The other is that Krishna's devotee tries to become humble by one's own endeavor. So there are two kind of things. There is imposition and there is an endeavor. And both are required on the stage of sadhana bhakti. So therefore, for once Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asking Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, actually in serving you, I sometimes feel very terrible. If I serve you nicely, I feel happy. But if I not serving you well, I feel terrible. What should I do for that?" And Prabhupada said, "Then I don't serve in the sense when the service is imperfect." So Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying, "When I see all these blunders that I make in serving you, and all the mistakes, that's the time when I feel very miserable." Prabhupada said this, to accept blunders is a symptom of sincere service. Right? Blunder one will make, but what is the situation, what is this consciousness? And Prabhupada said, just like a father or of a beloved son, or a beloved father of a son and a son of a beloved son of a father, suppose the son has a little ailment, the father becomes aggravated with the thought that the son might fall more sick and might feel that kind of anxiety. That anxiety is a sign of love. That anxiety is a sign of service. And therefore Prabhupada said, this is separation. Now that is a good sign. One should not think that one is perfect and we are doing everything very nicely. Even if we are doing very nicely, we should think that I am unable. And Prabhupada saying, just like one takes a precautionary method in the time of disease, then one is guaranteed that the relapse will not take place. So that caution, that proactive caution is very important for the life of a sadhaka. And Prabhupada said, but as a matter of sincerity, we must also try to execute the business very nicely. But one must have the tendency, have the attitude that I am not able to do it very nicely. And therefore, once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was talking in a class where Dhruva Maharaj is feeling so guilty for asking a material benediction from the Lord. And that time, he feels that he has done a great disservice by asking such a benediction. And Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that a devotee even feels always the mistakes of what one has done and takes responsibility and always credits others for the success. And that is the very secure attitude, sincere and a secure attitude to remain fixed up on the platform of devotional service. And therefore, he said that even if a devotee has not committed blunders for last 50 years, one must remember the blunder committed the 51st year and must feel regret and guilt for that. For that repentance, the fire of repentance will purify the conditioned living entity. So therefore, Prabhupada says that this is very nice, that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting these feelings of separation and Govind Dasi, she wanted to understand, "Prabhupada, what is the nature of this?" Prabhupada said, "This is very nice. We understand that Krishna is very nice, but I am unable to reciprocate with Krishna. And therefore I am full of sin, I am useless, I am unable, but Krishna is very great and therefore I have no qualification to see." And therefore this feeling of separation makes one feel enriched in Krishna consciousness. So first, imposition and endeavor leads to intense hankering, and intense hankering leads to enrichment of one's devotional service. And the symptom of that is that feeling no cessation and feeling humbled by the Lord and feeling that kind of humility and gratitude for the Lord's mercy at all the time. And therefore, this is what happened when Akrur visited Vrindavan. He created the scene of anguish. He created scene of hankering, the imposition of Krishna. He became the instrument. But then a promise was there. And therefore, there was an imposition, there was an anguish, and now there was attraction as well as separation. And therefore, when Uddhav comes to Vrindavan, when he meets with Nand Maharaj and Yashoda, they first ask about the welfare of Vasudev and Devaki. They ask about, they are very happy to conclude that Kamsa has been killed. And thereafter, he remembers, he asks only one question to Uddhav. Does Krishna remember us? Does Krishna remember the Govardhan Hill? Does Krishna remember the Yamuna? Does Krishna remember the gopis? Does Krishna remember the cows? Does Krishna remember this land of Brajmubi? And therefore, this is the right question for a sadhaka who has come to the stage of Nishtavan. Does Krishna really hanker for my service? I am serving Krishna, but really Krishna, does Krishna really accept my service or not? We should have faith that Krishna accepts the service, but the hankering is that, will Krishna accept me? Am I that qualified that Krishna will accept me? And that's what Nand Maharaj is and Yashoda Mai, in that intense separation of feeling that, will Krishna ever come and even give one glance? We don't expect Krishna to stay here in Vrindavan. They had already given up the expectation that we will achieve that blissful association of Krishna back once again. Prabhupada was once being asked by some devotees in the earlier days when their devotees were there and when they became a little busy and became more involved, and Prabhupada's association was very rarely available. So then those devotees said, Prabhupada, those are good old days in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, there are no good old days. All are equally same. There are only better days in Krishna consciousness. Not that the old ones were nice ones, and now that we have progressed, we have lost the good old memories of so-called likes of our bhakti. But then, from the likes of our nature or our viewpoint, we progress to the likes of Krishna, and that's the jumping phase. That's the phase where the nishtha is tested, that how much are we able to adapt to the likes of Krishna. And therefore here, Prabhupada mentions what is actually real love. In defining real love, is actually defining Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is love of Krishna, and love of Krishna is nothing but this. Prabhupada explains the love between a boy and a girl. A boy loves the girl, a girl loves the boy, but a girl wants to enjoy the boy and the boy wants to enjoy the girl. It's not about liking, it's not about loving, it's about liking. Liking is connected to enjoyment, and loving is connected to giving enjoyment. They both very, very similar. But then Prabhupada mentions, love means I enjoy or I not enjoy. If you get enjoyment, that's good. I enjoy or I not enjoy, I love you. And therefore there's a Prabhupada quotes, the English poet, Cowper. He said, England, with all thy faults, I love you. Right? If one can love nation with all the faults, definitely Krishna, who is faultless, Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of not loving him. It is only the fault of the conditioned living entity that he is not able to love Krishna. And that is something that creates the vacuum of the feeling of viraha, or feeling separated from Krishna, because that feeling of the lack of the feeling of loving Krishna or giving pleasure to Krishna is lacking. And therefore, this is what happened with Arjun. Arjun is that nishtavan sadhaka who has become confused, a sadhana bhakta, initially on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you compare to that condition where he was thoroughly bewildered by material attachments. But having heard Bhagavad Gita, he was resolved in his desire to please Krishna, to do Krishna's liking. He was wanting to do his liking. He was seeing the whole world with his likes. and Krishna convinced him to fight with his likes. But when he was defeated, it is easy to serve and get success and become convinced. But when one doesn't get success and one fails repeatedly, still to continue service with the same inspiration that we received success in our service is something that requires intense introspection and inner awakening. So therefore, when Arjun was also in that condition where he was he came back from Dwarka and he had actually become separated from the Lord even physically, but when he realized that physical separation led to the realization of the separation on the level of intimacy, in the sense of the level of consciousness, he remembered all those instructions where he remembered the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, and once again he became united with the Lord. And that feeling of separation is developed on the level of Vani. So the level of separation for the Vrindavan Vasis was physical. When they saw Krishna living, that evoked the feelings of separation. But now when they saw Uddhav, as by seeing Uddhav, they remembered Krishna more intensely. By relieving, by Krishna relieving Arjun of all of his glory and the opulence, Krishna gave him a greater gift. So Hari is something when Krishna takes all inauspiciousness, all the material attachments for a sadhaka. But for a Shraddhavan sadhaka, from a Shraddhavan sadhaka to a Nishtavan sadhaka, Krishna takes away the glory and the opulence of serving Krishna. Right? Arjuna was serving Krishna, but Krishna took the opulence of his service. And in that way, Krishna made him more dependent upon the Vani, the separation which can be cultivated even in his absence, even so more in his absence. And therefore Prabhupada is saying that, therefore Krishna appeared to Arjuna in an incarnation of sound vibration which was present before him physically when he was hearing the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said, thus the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation is also the incarnation of the Lord. One can connect with Krishna with this sound incarnation. And thus, the result was that the material desires in the mind are like the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of one's spiritual identity. These are like glorious Prabhupada's nectar. That Prabhupada explains that these desires are contamination which causes so much compatible and incompatible things which discourage the existence of spiritual identity. That means it discourages a person to deviate from one's spiritual constitution and become more attached to material affection and attachment. And therefore, they accumulate due to our material desires, and therefore this root cause of material desires is plucked out by Krishna, is weeded out by Krishna at the root when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in his variegated energies. That means these material desires have to be eliminated by contact of Krishna through the various transcendental energies which can be encountered in the process of devotional service. The desires are there, they create all the incompatibility, they discourage the living entity, the spiritual existence, but only possibility is to disconnect from these desires, is to connect with the various transcendental energies by the process of devotional service. And what is the process of devotional service? Shravanam. The first phase is Shravanam, then comes the Smaranam, and from Smaran or the first is Shravan Dasha, then comes Varan Dasha, then comes Smaran Dasha, and then comes Appan Dasha, and then comes Samadhi. These are the five stages of development of the highest stage of development of, and therefore from sadhana, from a shraddhavan sadhaka to a nishtavan sadhaka to a bhav yukt sadhaka, is something that sadhana is still there till bhav. Because beyond bhav is prem, and then after prem there is sneha, then there is man, then there is pranaya, and then there is rag, there is anurag, there is bhav, the real bhav thereafter, where there is no possibility of contamination, that bhav, and then mahabhav. And Srimati Radharani and the gopis are on the stage of that mahabhav. So this is the journey of a shraddhavan to a nishtavan to a bhavyukt sadhana or sadhaka. But on this stage there are five levels of smaran dasha. The first is remembrance, the second is contemplation, the third is concentration, the fourth is constant meditation, and then fifth is trance. So the Vrindavan Vasis were on the level of the highest stage of bhav, smaran dasha. And from the smaran dasha comes apana dasha. In fact, the first dasha that is there is shravan dasha, when one hears, one contacts Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, qualities, and thereafter in varan dasha one becomes, one develops the conviction to become Krishna's eternal servant. And then develops the fate to follow in the residence of Vrindavan. That is varan dasha. And the smaran dasha becomes intense in the sense of remembering, contemplating, and actually making it a constant meditation. And when this smaran dasha becomes intensified, then the devotee thinks of a steady conception of what one's swarup in the spiritual world. Prabhupada was asked by one disciple, Prabhupada, what is our, if in the spiritual world can our swarup change, can we change there? Prabhupada said, you always want to change. Right? And he said that in the spiritual world, swarup cannot be changed. Why? Because if one feels in swarup that, no, this is better, can I, in the spiritual world, it is independence. Can I go from becoming maybe a grass, and can I become a gopi? Prabhupada said, just like a husband is connected to wife, children, servant at home, they are all very happy in their relationship. Husband is also happy, the servant also is happy. The servant doesn't think I want to become wife. The wife doesn't think I want to become child. And therefore the Prabhupada said that in this way Krishna is happy, you are happy. No one is dissatisfied in the spiritual world. Dissatisfaction is here. I am not happy with whatever I have and whatever I have and I am. So basically we are not happy with what I am right now, and therefore we have problems with what I don't have. And therefore this way Prabhupada says that apan dasha means one starts to become convinced that this is my swarup and I follow. But that phase is beyond the shraddhavan sadhaka. So therefore this is something that we can take liberty while discussing this 10th canto. At least we can discuss. At least I can discuss. Because unless, but this is given, and then by stages of smaran and apan, the devotee can adore the eternal and nitya ashtakalya lila of Krishna. I mean, right now it would seem to be like, you know, something far-fetched. But if to reach Krishna, this is where one has to reach. But then one should not make some discrimination in the spiritual world, that which swarup it can be adjusted, that, you know, I don't get, can I exchange for something. And therefore this is the mission. The likes of Krishna is the mission of Krishna, and a devotee immediately adjusts oneself to the mission of the Lord. And Prabhupada's very famous and very one of my favorite statements is that Arjuna had no desire to fight with the relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord, and by doing this one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. So therefore the devotee adjusts. And now when there is first imposition, there is anguish, then there is intensification, and the third is acknowledgement. The third personality who visits Vrindavan is Balramji. And Balramji comes and reciprocates with Brajvasis on a higher level. He reciprocates with them very personally and very intimately. And with this intimacy, he gives them higher mellows, experience of the highest mellows of devotional service. Where he completely satisfies the residents of Vrindavan. And they, in separation from Krishna, they intensify those feelings of separation more and more. In fact, this stage is where Krishna personally likes to intensify the test on a personal level. This is where Krishna becomes very intimate with the devotee. That is the price of intimacy, that one is willing to be personally tested by Krishna. First he sends someone, then he sends his messengers, his devotees, but then thirdly he himself comes and intensifies that intimacy by giving that feelings of separation the highest flavor, the highest rasa. And therefore Rukmini Devi experienced that separation from Krishna. What was the separation? The separation was that Prabhupada was asked that in Golok Vrindavan there is no anxiety, right? So then where is the feelings of separation in Vrindavan Dham, in the spiritual world? Because in Vaikuntha there are no demons, there is no Kamsa, there is no Krishna living Vrindavan. So how do the residents of Vrindavan, the Golok Dham, experience the feelings of separation? Prabhupada said in Vaikuntha they do not experience separation. They do not experience separation by some induced or imposed conditions. But rather, they always feel that Krishna may leave them. We will lose Krishna. Just like a lover may feel that my beloved might leave me. Or a person who has money, who has earned money, and has kept money, may always feel that my money may be lost. So one thing is to earn the money, the second thing is to make sure it remains. So that feeling of separation, that it might get lost, is intensified in the spiritual world, where the intimacy is more and more advanced. And therefore Rukmini Devi was literally chided by Krishna by saying that, why did you marry me? Shishupal was better. I am nothing. I was afraid of Jarasan. I could not dare live on land. Therefore, I made something on the ocean. And I have no property. I have no heir to the throne. The Ugrasen Maharaj is going to inherit the throne. I don't understand. People can't understand me very well. I have no ultimate goal of life. I don't relate with properly everyone. See the residents of Vrindavan. They are still crying in separation from me. I was an unsophisticated coward boy. And he was literally kind of derating himself in eyes of Rukmini Devi, and was feeling that Rukmini Devi was feeling that Krishna is going to leave. And that's how she suddenly became unconscious. She fell swoon in ecstasy in the feelings of bhava of separation, and Krishna later on consoled her. And similarly, this is how one may actually understand that the intimacy is created by Krishna himself. And therefore Prabhupada gave us a semblance of how a kind of intimacy with his disciples, he generated the same feelings of understanding of separation. Once Prabhupada was on Chief Justice Veeraswami's home in Chennai, and two friends came, and the Chief Justice requested that I would like to join. He liked Prabhupada's followers and he gave a small deity of Krishna, silver, 6 inch, to Saraswati. Prabhupada said, when he came later, I will exchange that with a different deity because it's a silver one. So then, next time when he came, and Prabhupada asked Saraswati, in fact, he hid the deity of Krishna, of Saraswati, and then asked, Saraswati, where is Krishna? Saraswati said, I don't know. He said, Saraswati, see, is it in the beneath the cushion? Said she went and frantically searching. She could not find. Prabhupada said, she is please see whether it's on the shelf. Is he on the shelf? She could not find. She was becoming more and more anxious. She was just about to cry. And then someone said, Prabhupada said, where is Krishna? She is a child, 5 years old. Prabhupada was teaching something the highest to the child. And then finally, when she was just about to cry, Prabhupada asked, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Someone asked, someone told Saraswati, who has Krishna? The question was to ask to Saraswati. So she realized, Swamiji has Krishna, Prabhupada has Krishna. So she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And then Prabhupada gave the beautiful deity of Krishna to Saraswati. And everyone felt that separation, that feelings of separation. How one can actually intensify that feelings of separation. And this is how Prabhupada taught through very small thing. And therefore Prabhupada is saying that a very nice example of how the Vajrasis, how Krishna was reciprocating with them. So therefore it solely and wholly depends upon the devotee as how one will receive reciprocation from Krishna is to depend upon how one devotee develops those finer emotions of spiritual exchanges. So here Prabhupada is saying that anxiety is also thinking of Krishna. And this spiritual anxiety is something that Yashoda Mai was always there. And because of that spiritual anxiety, even when Krishna left, she was always remembering those days of spiritual anxiety. So Prabhupada is saying that thinking of Krishna means to think that what is the use of living if Krishna is gone. And here Prabhupada says that Krishna was just a boy of 5-6 years old when he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And Giriraj Maharaj was saying that, Prabhupada, how could Krishna dance on those 100 hoods? Prabhupada explaining something very wonderful. Prabhupada saying that, don't try to understand Krishna from your point of view. The point of view is that Krishna actually expanded into 100 forms. And each of the forms danced on each hood of Kaliya. And so Prabhupada, were the Brajvasi seeing all those forms? Prabhupada said they were only seeing helpless baby dancing on many hoods. They were feeling like that. Why? Because they were always in the mood that Krishna is never an incarnation. Krishna is never an expansion. Krishna is not Vishnu Tattva. He is our boy. He is our friend. He is our conjugal lover. So they could see that only Krishna is dancing on one hood or many hoods simultaneously. He said, similarly, they could feel the reciprocation of the feelings of separation because they were in that bhav. They were in that consciousness that Krishna is my lovable friend, lovable child, lovable conjugal partner. And therefore they could not see the Aishwarya in that feature. And because they could not see the Aishwarya, they were seeing Krishna alone while Krishna was dancing. But then Prabhupada said, similarly, Arjun was seeing Virat form, Virat Rup on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What were others seeing? They were seeing only Krishna sitting on the chariot as a charioteer. They were seeing Krishna as a charioteer and Arjun was seeing the Virat form of the Lord. So it all depends upon how one reciprocates, what is one's intimate relationship with Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada is saying that one sadhu in Haridwar is remarked that Bhaktivedanta Swami is worshipping a rural boy as God. Prabhupada said rural God. And therefore Prabhupada said for him there is no conception of Krishna as Vrajendra Nandan, Yashoda Nandan. When Vallabh Bhatt was saying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that do you know about Krishna? I want to tell something about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told that I know only two names. One is Shyam Sundar and one is Yashoda Nandan. I don't know anything else and I don't want to know anything else. So this is the relationship. And therefore this concludes with the understanding that, and therefore Prabhupada mentioning actually is that Vinashaya cha Dushkritam. Either we submit to the brute force of Maya or we accede to the sweet grace of Krishna. The choice remains on a living entity at all times. And therefore Prabhupada said Vinashaya cha Dushkritam and Paritranaya Sadhunam. Krishna does together. And therefore at one step Kalia realized Vinayasya Chaturshkritam that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And the other side, the devotees, they realize Krishna by the loving feelings of separation, that Krishna is their own lovable object. And all depends upon how one reciprocates. And therefore Krishna is very personal and intimate. Therefore we have seen the imposition, then the intensification, and then the intimacy. On the feelings of separation, from the stage of Shraddha, one bhakta to a nishtaman bhakta to a bhav yukt bhakta. And that's how we can always have a choice on the journey of Krishna consciousness, because the spectrum is the widest available. Prabhupada has given the highest and the widest spectrum of devotion service. We have to pick up what we can gain through humility, through gratitude, and through intimacy and intensifying service to the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and to the institution, to the parampara, and practically to the whole, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthalal Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.